Do you know for certain that you have eternal life? We're going to talk about that particular subject and how some gospel tracts present it in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently doing something fairly unique. We're examining gospel tracts. There's so many gospel tracts out there, and we're taking a look at a few of them to see if they're clear on the gospel message. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean, and Bob and I are going over some tracts. You know, what's very important for us, I would say it's probably the key thing in our ministry, is that we want people to practice red letter evangelism. And what I mean by that is we want people to evangelize the way Jesus evangelized in the Gospel of John. And he would tell them to believe in him for the gift of everlasting life. He would say, believe for the gift of everlasting life.
That's a good point. And let me just throw out a little something here. I preached on this basic point you're talking about a couple of weeks ago. What I said, and I would defend this from the scriptures, is the scriptures never tell us how to evangelize, but they show us evangelism.
Right.
The Gospel of John shows us how Jesus evangelized individuals and groups. The book of Acts also shows us how the apostles evangelized individuals and groups.
And the synoptic gospels show us how Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom to Israel.
Right.
So the synoptics really give a different message with different conditions. But if you're just talking about getting everlasting life and being born again, you go to John, and it's Jesus speaking mostly one-on-one, sometimes to groups like the Samaritans, but it's mostly one-on-one. And it's so simple.
Right. When you look at John chapter 3 with Nicodemus, or John chapter 4 with the woman at the well.
Every single time he went with them and he told them to say a sinner's prayer and he led them through the sinner's prayer. No, he didn't do that. That's not how he evangelized.
No.
Wait a second. I'm a Baptist, Bob, and we evangelize by telling people to say a sinner's prayer.
No, you don't.
And it's magic.
No.
And if you say it right, if you get the right intonation, then poof. You get born again.
No, Baptists don't teach that. At least most don't. You know, I had one guy told me, and he was dead serious, what he liked to do, he would talk to someone, tell them Jesus died and rose again, and then say, if you accept Jesus, you're saved. And he'd say, I'm just going to put my hand out here. I want you to shake my hand, and if you shake my hand, you're taking Jesus. You're accepting Jesus. And he might hold his hand out there for a minute, but eventually the person would shake his hand and he'd say, welcome to the family of God, and he'd mark it down.
Oh, wow.
That person was born again because he accepted Jesus.
Because he shook his hand.
Yeah, he shook my hand.
So it's not just by believing. It's God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shakes this guy's hand shall not perish but have everlasting. Do you see, though, how it's so easy to substitute the condition of believing with all kinds of Christianese or Baptistese type of practices?
Right, and part of the reason people do it is because oftentimes this does result in people who pray the prayer, shake the hand, walk the aisle, whatever, and at least a certain percentage of those people end up going to church. Even if it's only one out of five of them, you're getting some more people in church, and maybe eventually, when those people are in church, maybe they eventually come to faith. But
right.
The confusing thing about it is you started them out on the wrong foot.
Right. You started them out really confused. Like, you have this great story. You heard a missionary, and the missionary didn't realize the story was ironic, but he was evangelizing people in a Central American country or a Caribbean country. And the taxi driver he was evangelizing seemed to be really eager and seemed to accept this message. But when he met up with the taxi driver later, and this taxi driver had brought a friend along, the taxi driver said, hey, can you tell my friend the special prayer that he needs to say to be saved? I forgot the words.
That's exactly.
And so somehow this evangelistic message, this taxi driver, what he understood was you get saved by saying the magical incantation of the prayer.
Right. Well, and some of these tracts are like it. Let me show you. Here's a tract from the North American Mission Board. This tract says, do you know for certain that you have eternal life and that you will go to heaven when you die?
Now, these are my, I think that these are my Baptist people.
I think they are.
And I this think is so. It should be crystal clear.
Well, the cover is crystal clear.
It talks about eternal life, so we love that.
And he quotes 1 John 5:13. These things I have written unto you that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is believing
eternal
only.
Life.
This is great.
Super clear.
Right. And it starts out that way. It moves along and it's doing fine. God's purpose is that we have eternal life, and that's good. Our need is to understand we have a problem, and it talks about that we can't bridge the gap between God and man by our own self-effort. It has to be done and has been done by the shed blood of Christ.
And so those are all good reasons for an unbeliever to come to understand in order to believe in Jesus for salvation.
Right. But then the car leaves the expressway and goes off into the ditch.
Say it ain't so, Bob.
It says, our response is to receive Jesus. Well,
receive, John 1:12.
Might be okay. Depends on what they mean by that. Okay, right. What does it mean to receive Jesus? They say, first of all, we must repent of our sin. And then they quote Acts 3:19, Acts 26:20, and they say you must, it's like making a U-turn. And then it says, as we turn from our sins, the second condition is we must place our faith in Christ. Well, now that's good, right?
Okay.
In Jesus.
Yeah.
And they quote Ephesians 2:8. Unfortunately, they also quote James 2:19, the demons believe and tremble, which is not about believing in Jesus for eternal life,
no.
But they get confusing that way. And then they say three important questions. Does what you've been reading make sense to you? That's a good question. Secondly, is there any reason you would not be willing to receive God's gift of eternal life? That's good.
Yeah.
And then, are you willing to turn from your sins and place your faith in Jesus right now? That's confusing,
yeah.
Right?
Not that turning from your sins is a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing, and we want people to do that. And if turning from sins is something that's going to lead you to Jesus, okay. If you're very guilty about your sins and you want to deal with your sins or you want your sins dealt with, if that brings you to the foot of the cross, good. But that's not a condition.
That's not required. The woman at the well was a very immoral woman, and Jesus doesn't tell her to turn from her sins. And after the fact, John doesn't even tell us if she turned from her sins. They come to a prayer, and they say, read this prayer and see if it says what you want to say to God. And here's the prayer.
Uh-oh.
Dear God, I know that Jesus is your son and that he died on the cross and was raised from the dead. Good.
That's good.
I know I have sinned and need forgiveness. Fine.
Yep.
I am willing to turn from my sins. Oops. And why is it willing to turn from my sins? Up until now, it was an actual turning from sins.
Yeah, so it's like, do you
now
just...
Now we're going to soften it a little bit.
Do you need to do it?
No,
or do you just
kind of willing
to do it? And what is willing to do?
Yeah, what does that mean? And receive Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And why Savior and Lord? When you add in Savior and Lord, it tends to imply some sort of commitment or yieldedness to the Lordship of Christ. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's some good things in here, but there's enough confusion in here that I wouldn't use this booklet because it's not simply presenting the gift of everlasting life by faith alone.
Do they even use the word faith or believe? They use turn. They use receive.
Right.
But it doesn't say believe exactly. If it uses receive, that's kind of like a metaphor, but it's not really clear what that means.
Right. Well, they do have a quote of John 1:12 that ends with, even to them that believe on his name. They also have Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God.
So the scriptures contain the faith and
right.
Believing, but the explanation of the scriptures don't seem to.
The explanations don't. So this is one I would say is another mixed one. It's confusing. It's not one we should use. Now, here's another one, and I don't know if we're going to have time. I think we can look at it pretty quickly. It's from the Master's Fellowship, which I think is associated with Grace Community Church, John MacArthur's church, and also the Master's Seminary. They come along, and they are a bunch of good things, at the beginning, talking about Jesus and who Jesus is and that he's the Savior. And it says Jesus is the only acceptable object of saving faith, which is great.
That's true.
And then they have a one-way sign, and they quote John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
That's
great.
Very good.
And then they have something saying Jesus is Lord. Now, here's where it starts getting a little confusing. It would be fine to say Jesus is Lord. That means he's sovereign. That means anything he promises absolutely is fulfilled.
Right.
And he promises, he who believes in me has everlasting life. But mm-hmm. that's not what they do. Instead, they quote Romans 10:9, and then they say, confessing Jesus as Lord means humbly submitting to his authority, Philippians 2:10-11. So they're saying you've got to humbly submit to his authority to be born again.
So, that is, we want that to happen. That's part of discipleship. That's growing to spiritual maturity. We want people to submit. I know I do. I want every single one of my thoughts in my life to be submitted to Christ. But that's not what you need to do to be born again.
No, and then they have one called U-Turn OK, and they say true faith is always accompanied by repentance from sin. Repentance is more than simply being sorry for sin. It is agreeing with God that you were sinful, confessing your sins to him, and making a conscious choice to turn from sin and pursue holiness.
Oh, man.
So now faith. To be born again,
yeah.
I must consciously turn from my sins, and I must pursue holiness to be born again. Now, they don't say, by the way, true faith is repentance from sin. They say it's accompanied by.
Accompanied by.
But that's the same as saying, if you don't turn from your sins and pursue holiness, you don't have true faith.
Right.
So
yeah.
Therefore, it's a matter of semantics whether you say this is what faith is or faith automatically is accompanied
by
this.
And by the way, what that means is salvation doesn't just depend on what or who you believe, but how you believe it.
Right.
And so it's not just enough to believe in Jesus as your Savior. You also have to believe in the right way, and the right way includes all this behavior change.
Right. In their mind, it's turning from sins, pursuing holiness, submitting your life to Christ.
And who can know if they've done any of those things to the degree enough to be saved? You just can't.
And this booklet is called Stop, Who Do You Think I Am?
Well, they need to stop evangelizing like that because it's very confusing.
I agree. I know it's well-intentioned, but it is confusing.
Isn't it amazing that there are so many different ways to confuse the gospel, even though the way Jesus evangelized was so simple? Doesn't that make you want to evangelize simply the way Jesus evangelized in John's gospel, where he made clear that the one condition to be born again is to believe in him for everlasting life? Won't you start evangelizing like that too?
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion on Do You Know for Certain? Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to take a look at a track that defines faith as taking a step. So you don't want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.